Well, hello, hello. Welcome to both my national as well as international audience. You are here. Oh my goodness, this is going to be great. I just know it, you know. First of all, I just love the name. And then I've been told several times how to pronounce it. So we're going to get through this today on Speak to Me First podcast show. Bakari?
Bakari.
Bakari. This is what I love. This is what I love. I mean, you know, all day and all night, that's going to stick in my brain. Anyway, yes, Bakari, we got it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And you know what? Please pronounce the last name for all of our
Jambore.
Listeners. Jambor.
Yes.
Excellent. Jambore. Excellent. Excellent. And go ahead and raise the volume on your computer so we can all hear you. Just make sure, go ahead, use your outside voice so everybody can hear you, Bakari. I appreciate that. And, you know, we're not going to let any time go unnoticed. We want to make sure we can all hear you. And definitely I can see you. And for all of those who will eventually be seen from a visual standpoint, you know, we have an amazing guest here. And, you know, from Sky Legacy, let me just say this right, Sky Legacy Financial Services. And you are originally based out of the New York area, right? An
That's
upstate
right.
Area.
Rochester, New York.
Yes. All
Born
right. I love it when New Yorkers come through. I really do. But, you know, I won't hold that against them, folks, because, you know, I'm Brooklyn and Queens all day long. We won't hold it against
Rock
them.
City in the building.
Rock City is in the building today. And he's not just in the building. You're not just here just to sugarcoat things, because I'm the no sugarcoating coach. You're here to at least let us know a little bit about who you are and what you do. And I know there's another side. There's another side to you, because it's you and your wife have this business. And
yes,
as promised, we want to get her on. We're probably going to do something like a live on
yes.
Instagram. So
yes.
Hang in there, folks. You will meet his other half, the better half. We're going to meet her soon. So anyway, for today, let's just get right into it, will you? Tell us what's going on with Sky Legacy, right? That's
yes.
your business. You're the CEO.
That's
and,
right.
And how did you get started? And who do you help? And why is financial or legacy, financial legacy important for families?
Wonderful. Yes, thank you for the questions. Well, I got started in the financial industry because I came from a background of poverty. I grew up in the inner city where I grew up on welfare, and I experienced lack in my life. And I had some mentors in my younger years. Of course, I'm still young. I'm 46 years old. I'll be 47 in August. So in my younger years, I had some mentors that had took me under their wing and taught me the importance of finances. And I felt the brunt of me not being financially wise because my credit was bad, you know, and I was borrowing money. And it wasn't a life that I particularly cared for. And I felt like there was a better way for me to live my life. And so my mentor, I asked him, I said, hey, you know, can you teach me how to be better financially? And he began to teach me. And so there were some other individuals who literally I never even asked. They just seen something in me, and they pulled me under their wing and taught me financial literacy. And here I am. I retired at 39 years old. That was back in 2015. And 8 years later, I'm still retired. I'm still in control of my resources. And I was able to build an empire with my beautiful wife, being able to go do the things that we wanted to do. I was able to take my wife on a beautiful vacation to Montego Bay for her birthday, and just seeing the joy on her face, like being able to help my mother when she needed help, and just being able to be a blessing to people in the community, you know. And another inspiration was, unfortunately, we had to pay for our father's funeral, okay? So that was a motivation for me to get started in the financial industry as well, in the space of not only just budgeting and retirement planning, but helping individuals in the life insurance arena as well. And I'll just leave that there because we had to pay for that $10,000. And so I asked my mother, I said, "Mom, do you have it?" She said, "No." Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "We would have had to come out of our pocket with another $10,000. So with that being said, I seen lack in the community. And not only just when I say community, not only just in my community as an African in America, but also just looking at the suffrage of America during this time of the pandemic. And so many people wasn't financially in place to be able to deal with the economy crashing like that. And their finances crashed with the economy. So that pretty much put me on a mission, because my wife and I fortunately were blessed to still be standing throughout the whole situation because of the monies that we make, the profits we make from our business. So I said, let me teach other individuals how to do the same, how to set up their families as well, so they'll be able to still stand too. And so thus, you know, we're dealing with generational wealth instead of generational lack, right? You know, yeah. So that's what inspired me to say, hey, man, we got to end this. You know, it can be done. It's possible. People just need to be educated. And I recognize people can't apply what they don't know. Just like me. I didn't know. I didn't understand credit. I spend up my credit card and my credit score was bad. And I didn't know about utilization. I had no idea about that. I promise you. But it affected me. So my ignorance affected me. You know, so I'm like, okay, let me help others, so they too won't continue to being affected by ignorance, you know. So financial literacy is what embarked me upon my journey because of what I foresaid.
Absolutely. And the way you said that too, many families, you know, including my own, you know, if I look back, one of the things, I know we talked off camera a bit in our introduction meeting. Yes. One of the things, everybody has something going on in their family. I mean, and then all of the people that you think are doing well, they may or may not be doing as well.
That's true.
But then I remember back in the day where, you know, starting with my grandmother, or one at least, actually on both sides of my family, I have to give them credit, both my mother's, my maternal grandmother and my maternal grandmother on my, I'm sorry, the paternal and the maternal. So on both sides, I want to say, father's family and mother's family. And they believed in helping one another. So if somebody did have something, that they did pass it down. You know, wealth was passed down through the family. But there were some expectations behind that. Number one, there was monies that I saw, and the only way I was going to get it is if I went to college. It was like no questions asked. It was like that was the path. Someone already created a path for you. But now fast forward, as I look back on it, I'm like, well, what if I didn't want to go to college? Hmm. So do I not get anything? You know, so it's a thing. Just for the record, I did go. And I do remember the conversation distinctively because I went to college early at 17. I graduated high school at 17. And all I kept hearing was, you can't get that money until you're 18. But my mother wasn't having it. She went all, you know, Brooklyn on them. I don't know. I'm just a native of Brooklyn, New York and Queens. But anyway, yeah, but my mom stood her ground. She was like, look, my daughter's 17. She's going to college and that's her money. She can't help the fact that she's going to college earlier than most, just even based on your birth date, right? Or birth year. But with that said, generational wealth and being able to pass something down, that was great because that money was used for what it was intended for. What are some of the issues you're seeing now? Is it just because we've evolved and we're not saving as much in families? Mm-hmm. We're nervous about, life insurance, we don't need that. We're going to pass away, but we don't really need that. Oh, mm-hmm. I'll get that later. I mean, is it just because the way people are thinking now, we've evolved, and people just want to hold on to their money? They just want it to them, you know, close to the vest, not really to share it and pass it on. Do you see that in your practice?
I do. And it's because people have been, unfortunately, been miseducated, you know, about life insurance. You know, they look at it as death insurance. And people have had experiences with the bank. Now, look at what happened here recently with the banks, right? So that just adds more fuel to the fire with somebody going, oh, I don't need to put my money into the bank, you know, and not recognizing nothing happened to the working capital that was in our bank accounts. You know, we were still able to still utilize our money from our bank accounts, and just really understanding that the government will never allow, you know, the banks to topple, because it is a part of what helps to fund the economy. So when you understand those things, financial literacy, that's why, again, it's important, because when you put your money inside of a safe, your money is safe, but it doesn't grow. And that's where people have to start getting an education in regards to growing their money. And a lot of people, they don't understand the importance of putting it somewhere where it can grow over time. Excuse me. And this is the reason why some people, they're not ready for retirement, is because that's all they focus on. I'm just going to retire. But people forget, okay, for example, if you had $600,000 saved up, and you lived a $6,000 life when you retired, that will only last you 10 years. This is the reason why I teach finances, because people, oh, I got $600,000. That's a lot of money. Not if your lifestyle is 60, right? Yeah. And so it's time for us to be able to learn strategies that will help us to be able to build money that will outlive us instead of us outliving our money.
Wow. If we can all be, just get there and retire safely. And I mean, you know, we used to think about being healthy, and now you should be thinking about that every single day. You know, even though people say, okay, COVID is sort of simmered down, but it's still out there. People can and will get sick. But, you know, there are other different things like chronic diseases. I just happen to be diabetic type 2. So it's real important, you know, that I continue to keep healthy, because again, where is that money going to go? So what, I retire, but all my money's going to go to, you know, some nursing facility where they're helping taking care of you because you have a chronic disease. So you have to, people like me really have to be careful. And, you know, I want to say to people out there that may be afflicted by diabetes or hypertension or whatever, the common ones, that you need to look at your finances a little bit differently. When you're talking to, I mean, do you serve more of that middle-aged adult, that one who's, well, they're not ready to retire, they have some money in the bank, and then maybe within the next 10 years, I'll say five, maybe even less than that, they will retire. But do you deal with people like that? Are those your clients? Or do you also help clients who are younger? Maybe they came out of college, they're doing the right thing, they're on the right track, but they don't have a clue about what to do with their money.
Definitely. I help younger people as well. And I appreciate that question, because we actually help families to create financial plans for even newborn children. This is the reason why cash value life insurance is so important, because it has a high interest bearing savings account that's attached to it to be able to grow your money with compounding interest tax free. Okay, now I know it's one, it escapes me right now, the other one for the children that's out there. It escapes my memory at the moment, but I like this one because it's more flexible. Cash value life insurance is more flexible. Why? What am I saying? Because it's working capital. You can do with it what you want with it, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be concerned about an early withdrawal penalty fee, red tape, you know, for you to be able to get a loan against the money. In other words, having good credit or collateral. This is the reason why I like it. And the other one I'm referring to, some of you may know what I'm talking about, but the name again just escapes me, but you can only use it towards college. That's it. So if you wanted to do an and or with that money, there's no and or. there is no and or. You know, and one thing with the cash value is that you're able to literally help them with a business. You can send them to college, you know, depending on how you fund it, of course, because I'm realistic about that. Mm-hmm. But if you fund it properly, you'll be able to do that. Literally help them to have a paid off vehicle. Now they don't have a car note. Okay, send them to college. Okay, well, now you don't have to deal with the loans, the college loans. You don't have to deal with that. Why? Because they have the funding in there. So this is why I love this strategy that I teach people, is because they're in control. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and I love the word you just said, control. We have to do more about controlling our own finances. I think, you know, depending on your age or age range, some people say, oh, no, I have time. I'm not ready to retire yet. I have plenty of time to, you know, gain wealth and become wealthy, if you will. But, you know, first of all, everybody thinks about wealth in a different way, depending on how you grew up. You know, the way you hear the word wealth, and some people might say, wealth, we don't have any money. My family didn't come from money. What do you say to those people who may have come from that type of family? They don't have a clue necessarily about it, mm-hmm. don't really care about it. But, mm-hmm. You know, how do you address some of those issues that you may see when you're doing presentations out there in communities?
Well, you know, what I like to point out is that your condition can't change unless you have the resources for it to change. Okay, say for instance you want to go to an international country somewhere. That requires money because you have to pay for the passport. Say for instance you want to move. Okay, I'm tired of living in this space that I'm in. I want to move out of this space. Okay, even if the city is only 20 or 30 minutes away, that requires capital, right? So with that being said, if you don't have the funds, then you really can't fund what you want to do and what you need to do. So this is the reason why money is important. You leverage it to accomplish both of those things that I foresaid. And so money, okay, it is not the complete source of happiness, but money does give you a portion of happiness. It gives you the happiness of knowing that you have the financial security to take care of your needs as well as your family needs and wants, right? So that's what I have to say to that right there. First of all, you learn strategies. Even though you didn't come from money, I didn't either, right? I come from the inner city of Rochester, New York. I came from being on welfare. I came from getting credit at the corner store, right? And now we own several properties, and literally our portfolio is throughout the nation in three states right now of owning real estate.
Wow.
Okay, and I fully retired at the age of 39. So I'm a perfect example that you may not come from money, but if you learn the strategies, you can still earn the money, right? And then you could teach your families that don't have the same education, you can disseminate that information. And now it's a domino effect of financial literacy. And now it will take away lack in your family, and no longer will generational lack be your story. Now we're talking about generational wealth. Because if you leave the money in the wrong hands, if it's in the hands of the wrong heir, there will be no generational wealth. Why? Because they will squander it. So it's not enough to not only know how to create wealth, you also have to educate the heir so it will be a continuum of the wealth.
Yeah. And you know, that's true, because I don't know about you, but I remember back in the day where they would say, oh, I'm just going to leave Auntie so-and-so or Cousin so-and-so $1. It's like they had to, you just had to leave them something. I mean, I don't know if that was the law.
They must have did something. They did that out of spite.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can sit around here and talk about family things all day, but that's why I love listening to my elders. I still talk to a 92-year-old auntie in the Bronx. You know, bless her, and another cousin, you know, who is like 88, and they give me the story. And I'm telling you, when we're talking about money and wealth and how they used to handle things back then. But I think now a lot of times we just don't want to talk about, even if we're not doing so well, it's in the shameful way that you look like you're doing well. I believe you have some money in the bank, but realistically, they're just struggling and they're playing the role. I don't know if that's called imposter syndrome or whatever. And I know that it affects families, individuals, and so forth. But we'll touch a bit more on that. But I want to say, first of all, thank you for your service, because I realize you said you, you know, you were in the service. You
That's right. 20
retired
years
retired at 39 and all that. United States Marine Corps. And I also have Marines in my family as well. So thank you for your service and everything you do beyond. Welcome. You're quite welcome. So we're going to sort of turn the table in a minute. Again, one last note on that. If someone right now, and they said, well, the economy is, I don't know, it's not going that great. They just raised the interest rate, or I don't know, a quarter of a point, something like that, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I have a regular checking, regular savings, you know, somebody sitting at their 9 to 5 traditional, which I did for many, many years, and still will pick up a contract for HR or two if, when, and if I need it. What about that person that says, I don't have a lot of money in my retirement plan? Should I think about diversifying that right now? You know, what are some of the trends going on right now for people who say, look, sort of mid-income, what can I do?
Well, now a lot of people are starting to understand passive income, right? And this is the reason why I love real estate. Additionally, my wife and I are in the e-commerce space. You can make a whole lot of money by you becoming a person that supplies someone's needs, right? You become the answer to a problem, right? You know, someone needs somewhere to stay. Somebody always needs somewhere to stay. My wife and I have been in the real estate industry since 2019. Okay, the e-commerce space since 2018, right? And people always need something. You know, we're in health and beauty, we're in retail, you know, we sell health, beauty products, clothing. Somebody always need those things, right? So, you know, you just have to find a niche that is high in demand, right? And just like somebody always needs somewhere to stay. I promise you, even with the economy going on the way it is, contrary to popular belief, listen, when we put our rental property on the market for it to be rented, our phones constantly kept ringing until we found a tenant that fit the bill, and then we took it off. But the phones was constantly ringing. So what I'm saying to you is, you have to have that secondary income. I want you to think about this. Multi-millionaire. Multi. I personally don't know a multi-millionaire that does only one thing. For the exemption of those who are in entertainment, because they make the millions like that. They could just be actors and still make millions. They could do a movie and make a couple million, you know? So, you know, the athletes, they get 2-3 million up front on their contracts. So, you know, and for the exception of that, right? But for the most part, most multimillionaires do multiple things. So you need multiple streams of income for you to be able to bring in the multi-million dollar stream of wealth that you would like to have. And so this is the reason why you have to think about this now. When you retire, remember this. Your money is not going to be the same percentage as it is while you're working. And this will hurt a lot of people. They don't pay attention to that small little thing like that. Your paycheck is not going to be the same. That means that what you have to do is to compensate for that. You need a supplemental income to compensate. This is the reason why, unfortunately, elderly people still have to work as senior citizens, because they didn't have this type of education, or either they did learn it and they never applied it. Right? Lesson learned, unfortunately, the hard way. But This is what we have to really start thinking about. And then you have to think about, is my Social Security going to be enough? Mm. Now, most people, if they haven't been grandfathered in, they only are able to get the 401k mm-hmm. or the 403b, whichever one it is that you get, right? Even if you get matched dollar for dollar, I want you to think about what I foresaid. You can have $600,000 saved up. But if you have a $60,000 lifestyle, as I've mentioned, your money will be gone in 10 years.
Wow.
This is the reason why it's important for people to put themselves in a position mm-hmm. so that they could live off of their pension, right? Or also start a business and have an exiting strategy, meaning that, and this is a lot of entrepreneurs don't think about, when are you going to ever retire? you win. You're an entrepreneur. You keep talking, I'm an entrepreneur.
Right.
Time out. Did you ever think about when you going to quit? And what you going to, how you going to make money? Okay, because you used to making money because you're working your business. But mm-hmm. what about when you stop? That means mm-hmm. if you're not set up properly, that means the money is going to stop. And this is the reason why I love getting into the financial education, because I have these thought-provoking dialogues, not only with the average working blue-collar person and even people in corporate America, but additionally, you know what I'm saying, people who are just living the life, but they're not thinking about the afterlife.
And I'm the not life, but not the afterlife.
I'm not talking about you leaving this earth afterlife. I'm talking about the afterlife of entrepreneurship.
Right, right, right. Yes, yes. Because like we know, athletes, they retire, and then you see everybody all of a sudden they're on on sports, or ESPN or any other type of networks, and they're analysts. But there's always a backup plan. Even in my own, my background is HR, and mm-hmm. that's why I love just as passionate as you talk about, financial literacy. I'm passionate about career development and a plan, especially for mid-level to senior-level professionals, because what happens is you're sitting in that job for all umpteen years. Now somebody comes along and you're reporting to them, and they have maybe 2 or 3 years experience. So you have to have a plan for, maybe you don't like that environment. What is your exit plan? So there's an exit strategy for everything, our finances, our personal growth and development, career Absolutely. Development. And that's what I love. And again, thank you for sharing all of that. I just want to say, hey, you're on Speak to Me First podcast show. My listeners, I'm thanking you so much for listening to us. I've been talking with, and you know, I'm going to say his name this time, right? Because I wrote it down.
Bakari.
It drives me crazy. Even when I write it down. Yeah,
it's like saying okay, Bobby. But it's the ba in there.
It's that's the all ba.
There you go. When you get the Bakari, then you got Bakari.
Curry. Yes, I've been speaking with Bakari the Jambor.
That's right.
Bam, got that right. Something right today. I know it's something right because you're on the show. And you know, Bakari has been dropping gems
to my listeners. You hit it.
Shout out to all of my international listeners. We all have a background and a past. I like to just, before we, start to wrap up, I want to know if you can provide some tips to that person that, they may be looking at, and I'm going to just say this. This is what I thought about. We all learned our ABCs. And mm-hmm. when we were kids, mm-hmm. and now that doggone A, B, C, D, part A, part B, part D, medical, Medicare, all that, everything has changed. What I thought was ABCs in elementary school, it's a whole different meaning when you start talking about investment and retiring and, getting Medicare, Medicaid, all of that. So with that person who is just in line to retire, and like they said, on average 65, but we understand that a lot of people are staying in the workforce later, including women, well into their 70s. Can you just give us a couple of tips before we close out of some things that people should start planning for? What is the first or couple of steps that they should take into consideration?
Budgeting. Budgeting is such a powerful tool because budgeting is what helped me to be able to retire at 39. I just want to be very clear about that. It wasn't just because I had a retirement pension. I have quite a few friends and not throwing shots at them that still have to work. Okay. And what put me in this position is debt to income ratio. Okay. Minimizing your debt. Okay. This is the reason why a lot of people still have to work. Why? Because they didn't plan out far enough. Okay. To say, I want this paid off by this time. This is where your budgeting plan needs to start. You need to start effectively immediately if you haven't already. Okay. And it's going to take you to have some discipline, period. You know, sometimes you have to cut back in order for you to go forward. So whatever that looks like for you, you know what your bills look like. You know what is not necessary. Okay. You may be eating out a lot. Okay. You may be doing a lot of entertainment. Okay. You may have a whole bunch of cable channels that you're not watching, right? You know, so cut back so you can go forward. That's what I encourage you to look at. And also, if you haven't already, come up with a goal of where you want to be at by whatever age you are, by what time frame that you are. Why do you want to do this? Because that gives you a view of how soon you need to pay something off. Because by that time frame, you want to be able to have your lifestyle targeted where you want to only pay so much a month, okay, with that lifestyle. Okay, so that will be also in your scope as it relates to your target about where you want to be at. So just start scaling, looking at that, seeing where you want to be, looking at how much you want to make. Okay, then you have to look at how can I make that? Okay, what do I need to do in order for me to make that? Now, if you know that your retirement pension is not going to be what's going to fund your retirement, then that means that you need to have some passive income. You need additional income, supplemental income, and you need to figure that out like as soon as possible. Okay, so you could get that started effective immediately so you can start having that cash flow come in to where it can fund your retirement dream.
Wow, I'm dropping the gems. I knew you would do it, New York. I knew you would do it. You know, and I still New York, because that's where you grew up. I know you're not in New York Absolutely. Anymore. But once in New York,
nah,
always
New York all day. That don't change. That don't change.
Yeah, I know that's right. And the thing is, and I thank you for that because you broke it down eloquently. I think, and I'm a no sugarcoating coach, and a lot of times we talked about this off camera again. With our meeting, you know, people just don't want to hear the truth. Right. And, you know, if it's my generation, your generation, if we're close to the generation, I don't know who, but I think the younger and younger audiences need to understand the power of the dollar, but more Absolutely. So the power of 1 cent. Because what I remember still to this day, my grandmother, who had her own business, she was an entrepreneur, owned properties in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. And a shout out to Bed-Stuy. If you're listening, I'm Crown Heights, Brooklyn, and Jamaica, Queens, Bakari, Rochester, New York.
That's right.
And, you know, the deal is we've seen some stuff back in the day that are either our parents or our grandparents, and maybe they weren't saving as much. But I know that there's a legacy that all of us have. Right, with our families, or the family that you're building, or the family you came from. And it's, to me, what I'm hearing you saying is that you should really think about diversifying. You know, when you use the word diversify, and I thought about the same thing. In your world, diversify your portfolio, your financial portfolio. In my world, it's diversifying your job, or the, you know, whatever's going on career-wise. Because one of the big mistakes I made, Bakari, in my career life was staying at just being one-dimensional, meaning that's all I knew in HR. I knew one job, did it very well until there was a layoff or something else. And now you're just out there again, sending a resume, looking for another job, Same thing, same thing. There's nothing wrong with people staying in the same industries until retirement, but think about diversify. Can you move around in the company? Can you, it's the same thing with finances. How can I make my money work better for me in retirement? You know? So I may need to come and work for you and your wife with the legacy. I'll be a spokesperson for,
You fit well. You fit well. You laid that out there very well.
you know.
You fit perfectly on the team. Come on.
But that's how it is. But I th thank you so much. I'll ask you before
You're
you leave
welcome, and thank
us,
you.
you know, I want to ask you, you're welcome. You're so welcome. And thank you today. You've been listening to Speak to Me First podcast show. For those of you, you will see this eventually, both audio and video. What an awesome guest in the house today out of Rochester, New York. Yes. And he always has
Right,
his New York hat
Rock
on. You
City.
always do. Bakari, yeah, Bakari, Jambor. Gotta say
You got
it,
it.
say
You
it, say
got
it, say it.
it.
And
Mockery.
you know, with that said, what's next for Bakari Jambor? What's next in your world as a CEO of Sky Legacy Financial Services?
Thank you for that question. The next thing is us going to another level, expanding, increasing our portfolio. My wife and I, we're still young and we still have financial goals, as I'm sharing with you guys on today. We have ours too. So the next thing is, going to that next level, purchasing more property so we could continue to grow our portfolio to be able to retire, and to be able to have some extra cash flow coming in, so my wife, she can enjoy the rest of her life. So, that's the big goal, the ultimate goal. Is definitely expanding portfolio, additionally helping more families to create and transfer wealth, so that's the next goal, helping more and more and more families. I would love to help at least, a million families, be able to create and to transfer wealth.
Wow. Well, you got to let us know when you're going to be in the greater Atlanta area. That's where I'm currently based. So, and you and your
Oh
wife come
yes,
in.
we
Maybe
come
we'll
down
meet
there a
up
lot.
somewhere. Yeah, you know, so let me know and you guys and we'll try to meet up with you. I
Okay,
wanted to
sure.
say and I kept saying before we close, because I often try to think there's always something coming up in my head. That's just the way I think. How early should someone, in terms of, I know you do a lot of presentations and motivational speaking,
Yes.
philanthropy, all of that. You do it all,
Yes,
right? I
ma'am.
don't even know where you get the time, and a CEO.
Because I'm retired, I'm in control of my schedule.
Wow, you hear that, folks? Because he's retired. The big R. If what age range, I should say, do you think we should start getting our children or, you know, involved in financial literacy? Is there a particular age that you think
Yes,
about?
I would say pre-K. Start them out in pre-K, things of that nature. There are certain videos you can, put on that'll get into their subconscious mind. So it's a fact. That's the most impressionable ages. I would say like pre-K, kindergarten, around there. Those are the most impressionable ages right there. And you can start getting them involved with money, playing games with them. Definitely. One very popular game is Monopoly. When they get to the age of comprehension for Monopoly, help them to start playing Monopoly because it'll give them the money smarts.
Yeah, well, I gotta tell you, Bakari, you said Monopoly. Until this day, I couldn't figure that game out. You know, it was in my house. We played it. My brother was phenomenal at everything, chess and everything growing up in New York. But you know, I might look at that game a little bit differently now. I remember Boardwalk and all
Absolutely.
of those things, the
It's very
thimbles, some of those.
educational.
Yeah, you know, but it was really a game about really with finances and investing and taking away and getting, you know, it was and challenging, just like or somewhat similar to chess, but chess is a whole nother ball game. You know, but I do thank you for that. I was just wondering in
Welcome.
your mind, how early should we start teaching? It to me, it's never too early. And you know, so I'm on that line where you are when they say pre-K, because a lot of times when you go to the store with your children and all of a sudden they want something and you know they tease us with everything near the checkout. And so maybe, you know, mom and dad are saying, look, we can't get that right now. Or some parents will Honestly, they'll use the word, we cannot afford this right now. Put that candy back.
Right.
Don't pick up
Right.
another thing. Stop it. Now you're getting on everybody's nerves. But the reality is, once you start to teach them a little bit, I mean, children will be children. Let's face it. We love kids and they'll be kids.
Yes,
I'm
that's
go I
true.
asked for everything
And you
that I
can't
could
tell them,
get.
yeah, for yes, about, I don't care if you got a whole bunch of money, because then they'll have a sense of entitlement.
Yes. And so the
You gotta
reality
have a
is,
stopping point.
absolutely. And so teaching them, showing them the dollars, maybe the games, and there may be other games with cards and flashcards, anything about money. And this is what I learned from early on. I stood right next to my grandmother going to the bank. I'm thinking now, I look back, I'm like, that woman was really going to that bank a lot, you know? And she told me to sit over there and find something to do. And I'm thinking, you know, Grandma, I'm not really sure what you mean, because this is a big building. I don't see any like kids around. There's nothing to play with here. So you know what I did? I started taking the cards. They look something like, you know, this, like an index card. It wasn't really, you know, the slips, and you can, I started writing in and filling in the dollars and the thing. So it was a teachable moment. And then I realized she meant go over there, sit down and find something you could write on it, and just do something, because you're in the professional banking environment. There's nowhere, your environment should not dictate, meaning if you come from poverty, you
That's
come
right.
from, you know, maybe single parent, a lot of us have. My mother was too for a while, but she had a master's in education. So she taught us all the basics. But the reality is, I still made mistakes as an adult on my own financially. And for our listeners, you will make mistakes, but I believe what Bakari is saying, start planning early. And even if you went into some kind of dive with your finances, your credit's low, your score is low, this, that, they can still pick up the pace on that, right? Right? Even
Absolutely.
do
That's what I
something.
did. The same thing with me. Once I found out, it took some time. It took some time, but still, put it like this, your credit is your credibility to a degree. And I say that because sometimes tragic things, life happens to us all. We have some happenstances that happen in our lives. I get it. But when you come to the knowledge of a thing, and then you understand how it works, you are no longer in a position to use that excuse anymore. And plus, education that's applied is power. It's the implementation of information that brings about transformation. Knowledge within itself is not power. I know a lot of people say that, but many people know what they need to do, but they don't do it. And that's the reason why it doesn't benefit them, because they're not utilizing it. It's kind of like you having a key to a chest. And within that chest, if you just unlock it, you have access to everything that you need. That's how it is. If you have the key, but you're saying, I need something, I need something, I need something, but you're not using the key to open it up to unlock what you need. And that's how it
Wow.
is with information.
Oh, dropping the gems. Very New York style. I hear you. You know something? Everyone today, I'm sure somebody has so many takeaways, and I appreciate you for even taking the time out of that busy schedule of yours. You know, CEOs, it's hard to get you to get on
That's
camera these days, because they're, you
a
know, that CEO, you
fact.
know.
That's a fact.
Look.
Especially us, because we're serial entrepreneurs. So
Right,
I'm a CEO of
exactly.
multiple businesses.
Yeah, multiple businesses and everything. And but you're doing wonderful. And
Thank
I
you.
want everybody to make sure that they can check you out, because you're always, that's how we met virtually via LinkedIn. I saw your post, you've
That's
seen
right.
mine. You know, you like one another's posts. That's how we do. You share
Definitely,
them if you
definitely. We
can.
got
You
phenomenal
know my
content.
motto, like, share, and subscribe. Like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah,
So, with that said, let me just grab. I'm going to try to get our picture if you're ready. On three, smile. I got that. So, again, tell us what's up next for you. You have an event coming up, and where can people reach you? And before we conclude,
Okay, sure. You can reach me at, and this is
your
where
websites.
all of my platform content is at, all of my contact information is. My digital business card is Bakari, Bockarie, Jombora, Jombor.com. No slashes, no dots. Bakari Jombora together.com. Okay, and that's where you can find all of my contact information and social media platforms. Okay, you can go to even my YouTube channel was on there. Our YouTube channel, rather, is on there. Sky Legacy Financial Services, where I post weekly, at least two or three times a week, financial enrichment, empowerment, and development information that will help you and your family to create a financial shelter for generations.
Oh, absolutely. Great. And you're pretty good with messaging people on LinkedIn as well, the professional website. I got to encourage my listeners on Speak to Me First podcast show. Check out Bakari Jabbour. Definitely check him out. Check out the website. And you and your wife, Amani, correct? Am I pronouncing her name? Amani, yes, you got to check her out too, because you're a team and that is awesome. So we definitely want to, hopefully we're going to get together again and do a live perhaps on Instagram or maybe even another platform. But everybody's hanging out on Instagram. I just thought of that anyway. So, but I appreciate you today, Bakari. And guess what? I got your name right.
Likewise.
I got it. Right.
Yeah, you did. You did. You got it now. You got it.
All right.
You knocked it out the park.
Absolutely. And as I say before I end all of my shows, again, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach. You can reach me and you can check out my website and all of my hashtag stories of resilience. Again, at TJVEmpowersYou, the letter U.com, TJVEmpowersYou, the letter U.com. And again, I hang out on all social media platforms. I don't need to run them down, but just because we have the time to, let's do it. LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, yes, page and a profile. Follow Bakari Jabbour as well on all of his platforms. And we wish, guess what, folks? Sky Legacy Financial Services. You have dropped the gems today. Take care. Be well, my friend. Bye for now. Bye, Japan.